Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we step inside the vibrant, paint-splattered, and high-energy worlds of the artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create. We'll also meet special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their field. From our creative corner to yours, we're inviting you into inspiring conversations with exceptional women. I'm Susan Harold, Editor-in-Chief of Women Create. Join me as we sit down with visionary makers and innovative entrepreneurs to explore the beautiful chaos of the creative life, the trials that test us, the triumphs that fuel us, and the surprising paths that lead to those undeniable creative sparks. Thank you for being a part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Today we have with us Haley Price White. She is an artist and creative entrepreneur who helps other artists build sustainable business without burning out or selling out. She is the founder of the Art Coaching Club, which is a membership and education platform for creatives, and the Scouted Studio, which is a contemporary online art gallery. Through her own art practice, coaching, podcasting, and writing, Haley focuses on the intersection of creativity, business, and building out your own version of success. Welcome, Haley. It's so great to have you with us.
I'm so excited to be here. It's so nice to see you.
Thank you. I kind of want to just dive right into a question that I think a lot of artists have, which is basically, how do I move from being an artist and having that be my hobby to it being an actual full-fledged business and a successful business at that? So there are just a few questions I kind of want to ask you and just dive in. What does it actually mean to sort of treat your art like a business without draining the creativity out of it? What is sort of a starting point for someone who's looking to do that?
Definitely. Well, I think the first thing you have to do is get comfortable talking about being an artist as a business owner. I think so often we downplay, especially when it's our hobby, we downplay like, oh, it's just something I do on the side, or, you know, this is just my little hobby. And I think if you really are ready to start treating it like something more serious, whatever that looks like for you, I think it's first important just to step into ownership of claiming that and calling yourself an artist. I think a lot of the times we think we have to reach some certain marker of success or some threshold to be able to say we're artists, and that is not true. And if we did that, I think none of us would actually ever feel ready. But I think that's kind of step one. And then step two is defining what does success, you know, as a business owner look like for you. Is it some number? Is it some, you know, goal, like getting into a certain gallery or a certain number of galleries, getting into a show? First, just defining it and figuring out, okay, what are the steps to get me there? I would say that is just like step one, baseline.
Yeah, I feel like this comes up in so many conversations, but why do you think so many artists undervalue their work? And what's a great starting point to begin to change that?
I mean, I think first and foremost, what comes easy for us, it's hard for us to put value on that. And so I talk to so many artists, and we'll talk about pricing specifically, because I think that's an easy way to conceptualize this. But so many artists are like, well, this didn't take me that long. It was easy for me. I love doing it. Why would I, you know, charge X amount? And it's like, it's easy for you because it's your skill, because it's your talent. And I think that's, you know, one aspect of undervaluing, but I also see it with just even being comfortable, you know, reaching out to a gallery or feeling prepared to work with, you know, an interior designer or someone that could get their business to the next level. A lot of the times we just don't see the value in what we're doing, because I don't think there's necessarily markers for success for artists. You know, we go through school and it's like you get an A, B, C, like you know how you're doing. And then you graduate. And even in jobs, usually a corporate job, you have some kind of like review, you get raises. There are markers of you're doing okay or you're not. When you become a creative, there's really no check mark. There's no you're doing the right thing, because there's not really a right or wrong. We have to really define that for ourselves. And so what I say to a lot of artists is, you've got to figure out what success looks like for you. First and foremost, figure out what that looks like for you. And that does not mean, I tell artists all the time, I'm like, don't give me a financial number. Like that's a side conversation and that's important, but start with, what do you want your life to look like? Where do you want your art to live? Who do you want to have your artwork in their homes? Like start to just think through those kind of things. And then we start to evaluate, Well, how are we going to get you there? And what is that going to look like? And so I think, I mean, circling back to your question, just why do artists undervalue themselves? Is because I think there aren't really boxes you can check to say, yes, I'm on the right path. And that's why I think we really have to understand, we have to kind of be our own boss and do that for ourselves.
I think that is such a great answer. I mean, art is very subjective. So what you might love could be different than what I love. And as someone who is a creative, you get very used to what you're creating. And most likely you just sort of begin to see that as almost ordinary, or you begin to see that as sort of run of the mill. And being able to step outside of that and think about what someone else might see, I think is a very important step.
Definitely. And it's hard because, I mean, for a lot of reasons, but what you do every day does almost become mundane. And I don't want to say we need to rely on outside validation, but sometimes outside validation is nice. Like having other
Of
people say, like,
course.
your art is great. But I think we also have to figure out what are those markers for ourselves when we're not in a period of getting outside validation.
Right. So let's say we have an artist who has sort of identified that they are ready to move on to this next level and create a business out of what they love to do. There are so many places to begin. You've got marketing, you've got networking, you have website development, finances. So that can be very overwhelming for someone to start thinking about, especially a creative, if you're sort of using that side of your brain. What is your best piece of advice for someone who's just, how do I start down this road?
Yes. So I would say before we get to any of the scary stuff, like, the accounting and the business license, like things that I think hold people up, it's like, let's not even worry about that yet. Let's start with, let's show people your art exists. So maybe that looks like, getting on Pinterest or getting on Instagram or just getting on some free, easily accessible platform where you can get your artwork in front of people. And I would say pair that with trying to get to know people, whether it be in your community or digitally, depending on, if you don't feel like you have a big artist community where you live. I feel like the biggest leaps in my business and other artist businesses have just been talking to other people. One, just for the I'm going through this, are you also going through it? But also, I find artists, especially female artists, which I would is primarily my audience and I would assume yours, artists want to pull each other up. It's a unique group of people who really do want to support each other. And so I think don't see other artists as competition. Actually seek them out. And often that can be the best thing to get your art to the next level. So something you can do today if you're ready to start and you don't already have something, start an Instagram account. You don't even need a website yet. Like again, I'm talking like base level step
Basic.
one. Get an Instagram account, maybe get on Pinterest if you like Pinterest. If you like TikTok, choose TikTok, choose the platform you like. Get on there, tell people that your art is now available. It is something you're doing. It is something maybe you're starting to sell. And then try to find other people. And a lot of the times, those platforms are a great way to start connecting with other artists. So I'd say that is level one.
Level one. No, I like that. And in fact, for those of you who aren't familiar with Haley, on your Instagram page, you do sort of an artist tip of the day. And what I love about those is they are so simple. And sometimes you'll even say, I don't want to oversimplify this, or this might seem obvious, but I think it's not. I think that sometimes just starting at that very basic place is what someone needs to know and needs to understand. And one of the tips you gave recently was just talk. Get on Instagram and just mention a piece of your artwork, talk about it a little bit and introduce it. So in line with what you just said, it's that very basic, like, let me just introduce myself, let me talk to you, let me humanize myself and show you what I have here. And I think what you had mentioned was you'd have more success with that than you might think.
Absolutely. And it's funny, I posted that. I mean, if people go watch the video, it's pinned on my art coaching club page. It's in my car. I like had just left the grocery store. It's not a fancy post. And I think I introduced it, or maybe I said at the end, this is pretty obvious. And you might like roll your eyes at this, or you might just turn away. But that particular post went like viral for me. And the reason I think it performed so well is because sometimes the obvious stuff is what we need to hear. And I think it is simplification. Sometimes, like starting an art business, or even I'm 8, 9 years in my business now and I sell my own artwork, I need to be reminded of the simple just get on camera, get people to get to know you, talk about your artwork. Like sometimes it's as simple as that, and that can work really well.
Well, and the way that you presented that particular video,
It's very easy to get hung up on thinking everything has to be perfect. You have to look perfect, or the lighting has to be perfect. And as you said, here you are in your car coming out of the grocery store, which I didn't know. It's just very authentic. And if you get hung up on everything has to be just right in order to make that first video, you're never going to make it, right?
Exactly. And I think most of the time I cringe at my own videos. Like, I think people worry about everything being perfect, and I by no means think anything I put out there is perfect. I am the queen of typos, and I'm not saying we seek that out, but I also think it humanizes you, and I think people realize, Haley doesn't get dressed up and put on a full face of makeup every single day. I don't expect her to do that in her artist tips of the day.
Right, yeah.
I want people to feel like they're getting a FaceTime from me and I'm a real person on the other end of the line. And I think that has been hugely effective for my business, but I think it just makes sense. It's common knowledge. Like, people want to know who they're buying from.
Right, no, I completely agree. I completely agree. You had mentioned the first step was sort of just putting yourself out there, whether that be starting an Instagram page, starting a Pinterest page, making a video. How can artists grow that visibility without feeling really exposed or really overwhelmed? We touched on it a little bit, but so you've got that first step, right? So what's next?
I would say what's next from a business perspective, I think you could consider layering on a website. I think that's a really good home base. Whether that be, a Squarespace, a Shopify, a Wix website, or even just Etsy, and it's somewhere where people can go and actually learn more about your work outside of a platform. I think that's where you lead your strongest buyers. And I also think an email list is really impactful with that. And the reason I'm going to bring that up, and we can also talk about, growth in particular on an Instagram or those other platforms, but I think having something like an email list where people that kind of raise their hand and say, I'm interested, I want more, it's giving them that next step. So let's say, you started an Instagram today, you post a piece, and of the 10 people that like it, one person comments, this is great. How can I learn more? I actually like saying, if you want to learn more about my artwork, here's an email list or here's my website you can go to. It just nurtures them. It gives them that next step, but it also captures, the hottest, warmest, the most excited people, the best leads. And then you can continue to communicate with them because I think getting, a really curated, almost like a handwritten letter feeling email in an inbox for your most curated clients, like that's such a great way to sell a commission or sell your next piece and actually move people from the Instagram platform where they're getting inundated with so much information all the time. So that's almost a next step and kind of like a leveling up. So it's like once you
Right.
get comfortable appearing on, I'm just gonna use Instagram because I think that's the primary platform. Comfortable on Instagram, it's okay. Well, then what? What do I do with these people? Because I think a lot of people say, I'm just going to stay and sell on Instagram. And it's like, that's a great way to lose sales. Like, I actually say, let's get your warmest leads and let's get them on an email list, even if that's just a list in a spreadsheet. And then really start to understand who are the people that are the most excited. And can you eventually get to the point where you're reaching out to them maybe on a monthly basis with some kind of newsletter that tells them more about you? Again, gets them to know you.
And do you agree too that artists in general should not be too concerned about their numbers? I think so many people are curious, well, I only got, you just mentioned 10 likes. I only got 10 likes, or I only have 25 people on my email list. I think you have to start somewhere. And then if you start to get sort of distracted or overly judgmental with yourself about your following and your numbers, it changes how you perceive your work also. So do you agree that pretend like you're speaking to 100 people or 1,000 people or 5,000 people, but just deliver your message and don't get too caught up in how many likes and how many follows you have.
Absolutely. I mean, one, so much of it is just kind of out of our hands. So I just have the okay, I'm not going to worry about it mentality. But I also think, I'd rather have 10 of the right people than 100 of the wrong people. And it's really, I think people might roll their eyes on that, like, oh, easy to say, once you have a certain threshold. But I really think so. Like, if you have 10 people in a room excited about your artwork, that feels pretty good. But I think we need, thousands of followers to make a difference, but you really don't. I know some people have probably heard the, I think it's 1,000 true fans or 100 true fans. It's a written piece about you really don't need, millions and millions of people loving you to have a successful business. And I think the same goes for art. And I think we're in this digital age where we see people going viral and we see people, blowing up on the internet. And I think that's really not what we're trying to do as artists. I think we're trying to have a deep relationship and connect with people that deeply connect with us and with our work. And That doesn't mean virality. That means, I'm going to put what I think is really true out there and really communicates my work and who I am to my ideal customer, and the right people are going to connect with it. And that probably means it's not going to be millions. It might be, 100, and that's totally fine. And that's something it's hard to come to terms with. It's not like the natural way. Like, you want more and you want more people to see it. But once you get over that hump, you'll actually see a lot more success when it comes to like actual sales and things like that.
Right, it's more the quality of your group than the
Exactly.
quantity of your group, because there is so much comparison out there, and there's so much noise out there that can be difficult to separate
Right.
yourself from. But I think that advice is great. Just speak to your audience, and if it's even if it's a small audience, if it's the right audience, it can make a really big difference in your success. One other thing I wanted to ask you is, when does an artist know that it's time to ask for help? So maybe they've started some of these initial steps and they're finding that building that business is taking away time from creating, and it's starting to become more than they had envisioned. When do you believe it's time to start branching out and asking for help in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's never really too early to ask for help. I think, again, that almost comes back to what I was talking about earlier. Just go meet other artists and they'll help you for free, probably more than you could ever want. But I also think it's, more seriously, it's on a like on a personal level, it's thinking, how much is this starting to take away from my artwork? Because even artists that are at, in tons of galleries and are, outwardly super successful, they'll come to me and they're like, "Haley, I'm only spending an hour a week on my art." And I'm like, "That's not right. That's not what we want." And that's a
Right.
great time to, really identify, okay, I need help. I'm spending, 6 hours a week on my website, and there's probably someone else who could do it in 5 minutes. So it's just identifying where is your time going. And I'm actually, this is something that's really not fun to do, but very worth your time. And it's a time audit. And it's just, I would say, do it for 1 week. Just write down what you do all day. And it starts to be, it's really clarifying just to determine, here's how I spent all my time. And it, can any of that be either cut out by asking for help, or, if delegating, if you have the resources to do that. And even now with technology, there's a lot of apps and resources that can help speed up processes if you don't feel like you're ready to actually hire someone like a coach or somebody to actually, do the work for you, like an accountant or something like that. I still do most of, like, run the majority of my business by myself, and I have an assistant, but I don't outsource to like accountants and things like that at this time. But it's because I leverage people that can either teach me how to do it, or I use apps. And so it's just understanding how to make the most of your time. And when the majority of your time is moving away from your creative practice, I would say that's a time to identify, all right, how can I get this time back, and what is that going to look like? How am I going to find someone that can fill those needs for me?
Excellent. Okay, so tell me a little bit about sort of your background. So I know you, I'm guessing, I believe you started as an artist first,
Yes.
right? And then
Yep.
you began the art coaching club. So tell me a little bit about that transition and why you decided to be there for other artists in that degree.
Yes. So a little background on me. I was, in fact, an artist first. I sold my own artwork really starting in high school. Obviously it grew from there, but I've been selling my artwork for forever and always have just been a little more business-minded or left-brained. And so I went to school, studied studio art and business, graduated and worked for a magazine, did a couple different things, and actually started with the Scouted Studio. So I opened a gallery, which later became an online gallery during COVID. And the reason that's relevant to the art coaching club is I was working with all these artists and just identifying a lot of them were coming to me with kind of the same questions over and over again. How do I grow? How do I market better? How do I price my work? All these different things. And a lot of it just, I found, came naturally to me. And so I was helping all these artists because, in my mind, these artists grow, the gallery grows, this is all, we're all winning here. And then I identified, this is a real need. I think a lot of artists have amazing skill sets, but they just, like you said earlier, like, they just need to ask for help. They just need that help in kind of answering a couple of these questions that will get them to that next level. And so, started off really small. I just put a little line on my website, sign up for a coaching call, like, art coaching club. I don't even know if it had a formal name yet. It definitely didn't have an Instagram. And I just kind of tested the waters, and it grew really quickly. And people from all over the world started reaching out wanting just advice. And it kind of turned in from me offering one-on-one advice to a podcast and really a whole community, because what I eventually discovered was these artists are so talented. There's so much you guys can learn from each other. And so that's really how the Art Coaching Club community was born. And it's just kind of taken on a life of its own from there.
That's amazing. And you're right. I don't think many artists have that advantage of being both left brain and right brain, right? So having that sort of business numbers side of your work and also being a creative, I think that's an interesting combination, a great combination, but a little bit more rare.
It's lovely. I also think it has its challenges, and this is something I talk to artists about a lot, is art is a delicate balance, because when you think too business oriented, it's all of a sudden, I don't want to only create artwork just for people to purchase. I also want to still create artwork I love. And so it's like, how do you find that balance of creating what you love that also sells, that also helps you reach those goals? And those are conversations we all have, I think, every day, the artists I work with and myself. It's all right, how do I maintain that balance of a successful business, but also keep that passion alive? Because I think that's something artists struggle with a lot too, is just they do take it to that next level and all of a sudden they burn out because they only have the hour a week for their actual art and things like that. So it's a skill once you get that left brain kind of side going, but it also it's hard because then your passion does become a business, which you got to maintain, you got to make sure you keep the fun in it.
Right, absolutely. So if someone were to join the coaching club, give us like a little idea of what that looks like. So you mentioned one-on-ones and you mentioned that it's a community. So can you break that down a little bit more?
Yes. So there's kind of a few main areas of the Art Coaching Club business, I would say. So I do offer one-on-one calls. So that's great if you really want to dive into your specific business, you have specific questions, that can be a one-off, one-time call, or I have some people who meet monthly. It's kind of self-explanatory. A great one-on-one session. Then I have the podcast, great free resource. And then I have the club, which is a membership. We're at, I think, around 100 members. And what it is one, a huge backlog of resources, old videos. I mean, videos I made back in 2021 that, were like, what was I doing back then? But they're all really, really useful. And then we have weekly calls. So the group will get together on Tuesdays and we'll dive into a topic. So this week we were specifically talking about, world building. So your brand, like your brand, and how to kind of build a world around it and how to tell that story on across all channels, on social media to your email to all of that. But every week something different. We might talk about pricing. We might talk about, relevant things that are going on in the world that might affect our artwork. So it's great because in those group sessions, it's about half 20 to 30 minutes of me presenting on something and about half just general updates, open Q&A, these women kind of raising their hand and saying, I have this going on this week. Someone else being like, oh, I can help you with that. Or, oh, I'll make sure to mention it in my newsletter. And it's just a really supportive group. And it's so fun now because I know them all so well, and seeing them, comment on each other's Instagrams and, talking about the other ones and what they're doing and seeing them meet up. It's despite being online, I feel like it is such a wonderful, tight-knit community, which I just love. It's one of my favorite things I do.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's a community that you've built. And you're right, there isn't usually just one correct answer to most questions. So you can offer your insights and which are very valuable given all of your experience, but then someone else, another artist probably has some also additional amazing insights to extend. So that is so cool that each of these people then gets to visit with each other and get to know each other and bounce ideas off of each other. So
Right.
that's
And I think
wonderful.
things are changing so quickly and so constantly, like just every day in the art world and just in the business world in general, that I think learning from other artists as much as for me, I mean, whether it be in the community or even just listening to the podcast, people are like, oh, I just heard another artist tell her story and I learned so much. I just think there's so much to learn from each other that I try to really facilitate in the best, in the best way I can.
That's great. I think another issue that some artists have is just consistency, right? Because being creative isn't always consistent, but a business sort of requires a little bit of consistency. So sort of balancing the creativity with the need to continue to produce, to continue to provide information on your Instagram or to be relevant. And do you have advice for someone who maybe is in a rut or who just feels that they need that little push to create more of that consistency?
Definitely. I think there's a couple, I have a couple different thoughts on this. I would say one, if you are in a rut or you're somebody that struggles with I go really, really hard and then I burn out and then I back up and then I get excited about an idea and then I lose an idea. I would say first and foremost, you need to have some unstructured creative time in your week. And whether that's just an hour or 30 minutes, whatever you can afford to kind of put into your week, have some time where you just play. You are allowed to throw those drawings away. They do not need to be, like, no one needs to see them. You don't need to film them. You don't need to talk about them. That is how I think you really keep, like, just the spirit alive. And your best work is going to come from just unstructured creative time. I think that's so important not to lose. But I think in terms of more of like a broad, you know, how do I stay consistent across all of it? What I really like to do is I plan out my calendar, you know, in December, in January, really for the whole year. And that might sound really daunting. We're gonna keep it super high level. I just try to have a theme for every month. So what I would say is if you know you have a lot of spring shows in April, April is your spring show. That is your, you know, April and maybe the month before you're going to be prepping and going to those. And you don't need to stress about anything else. Maybe in the summer your art sales are a little bit slower. That's a great time to like build up inventory, play a little more in the studio. Maybe you capture more video content or get a photo shoot done so you have that stuff for later. I think the holiday time can be busy with, you know, ornaments and things like that and maybe pop-ups. Go through your calendar and identify what your, you know, what last year looked like if you have that data and start to pick one theme per month and then give yourself permission to not focus as much on the other stuff during those months because our creativity and our workload is just naturally going to ebb and flow. So be strategic to kind of like lean into that ebb and flow. I feel like I'm extremely creative in the summer because not as much work is selling, not as much stuff is going on in my life. So I just lean into it. I'm like, I'm gonna work my butt off in the spring so that I can sit back, not stress out too much about sales in the summer, and just allow my creativity to shine and lots of inventory will be produced. So I would say that's, you know, kind of the high level advice. And then I think getting really specific on like week to week, how do we show up on Instagram? How do we, you know, paint every week or whatever that looks like? I think really just it takes a lot of studying yourself, but getting to know, you know, how do you like to work? Are you a morning creative? Can you build out your mornings to do that? Can you, if Instagram is constantly distracting you, can you just batch it all on a Monday? That's what I do. My artist tips of the day are usually I film five of them on Monday and I schedule them out and then I really don't even check Instagram that thoroughly the rest of the week. So, I mean, you've probably heard batch working before, but I think there are some elements to that that really work that allow you to, you know, check off the business things that are not fun so that you can have a full day to focus on artwork. And then, you know, I'm a big Friday painter because I feel like I can get everything done by Friday and then Fridays are fun and I can just be in my studio all day without a worry in the world. So that's like a little thing too. Just see what your week looks like and see if you can open up big chunks of time to actually spend on your practice.
Right. Well, there's a common thread I feel like for a lot of artists, and even just in this conversation of overwhelm, right? That, and it doesn't have to be so overwhelming. I mean, just speaking with you today, this is such a great conversation because you've simplified everything to where it doesn't have to be this big, scary business. You know, it doesn't have to be a filming every day. It doesn't have to be doing one thing you don't like every day, like batch working. There's just, I feel like you've offered a lot of great advice for women to have fun. I mean, it doesn't have to be
Yes.
overwhelming, and it will most likely be a lot more successful of a business if you are having fun, if it feels authentic, if it feels real. So.
Exactly. And I was having this conversation with an artist earlier this week. It's like we decided to do this. We decided to go out on our own, to start our own businesses, to be artists. We don't have to keep doing it if it's not fun. Like, make it fun. So if you're all of a sudden looking at your day to day and you're like, I don't like any of this, figure out why and remove those things. I mean, we really have that. I think we tell ourselves it's not as simple as that, but in a lot of ways it is. If you're like, I just really don't like the amount of time I spend on Instagram, don't spend that much time on it, you know? And
Right.
it's hard because we feel like we need to, but I think sometimes it's like you get to figure out how this is successful. Like, go make it fun and the success will follow.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, and I think a couple of things you've mentioned on your artist tips of the day that really stuck out for me were one is that, you know, art should feel deeply personal, but it doesn't have to feel lonely. So that's kind of getting back to your community and sort of having these other women that you can engage with and talk with. And I do think that makes it more fun and that makes it a little bit less overwhelming. But another one is getting back to one of our very first questions was just talking about how to value your artwork. And one tip that you gave, again, it might be recently or might have just been pinned to the top, but because artists have this fear of rejection, they tend to price their artwork too low. And actually, doing that sort of gives the impression that it's not worth much. So can you kind of walk us through you're gonna phrase it so much better than I ever could, but just talking about how pricing it higher than maybe you would even think is actually more advantageous.
Yes. So I will give the context and the background that I was the notoriously priced too low artist. And people would tell me, your prices are too low, your price is too low. And I was like, no, they're not. It's fine. And when I finally got over myself and raised them, I actually realized I was selling a lot more. And there's a lot of strategy to this. I'm not going to tell you to just like 10 times your prices, but being strategic, and you want to look at where the market is, where other people are pricing their work that are, relatively at your level. But when you raise your prices, it signals to the world what your work is worth. And art is a luxury item. And so the best thing I could compare it to is, clothing or a handbag. If I get the exact same handbag and it's from Chanel or it's from Walmart, I'm going to assume Chanel is nicer, even if it's the exact same handbag. And I'm not saying we need to be Walmart or Chanel prices, but I think that's a really eye-opening example that your pricing tells people what the work is worth. And so you need to really start to think, who is my ideal customer? Who am I trying to attract? And therefore, what do they see as a luxury? Because art is a luxury good. You don't want your art to be something that I bought for $5, therefore, like, I don't really, it can get, tossed to the side and I don't need to have it in an important place in my home. I'd rather my artwork be something that they were so excited about, they saved for it or it was a gift or, they bought it and it's a prominent place in their home. Like, we want our art to feel that way. And I think we shy away from that because, like you said, I think we're scared of rejection. We're scared of failure. We mark sales as we're doing the right thing. Our work is good. And therefore, we think lower is better when often art actually sells less because people see such a low price point that they're like, it must not be good because, and that's tough. So it's obviously a balance, but a lot of the times we do need to raise our prices.
Well, I think that kind of connects to what you were saying earlier about how having, 100 really great community members or followers or audience members is way more valuable than having, 500 that may or may not really truly be connected to your work. It's the
Right.
same thing where if you have you could sell 10 pieces of art for a low price or just sell one for the higher price and make the same amount of money doing a little bit less work because you're not having to manage all these different sales. So sometimes just really honing in on the value and the worthiness, whether it be from artwork pricing to your followers and your Instagram, there's a connection there between those two.
Exactly.
Okay, so also, Haley, what goals do you have for 2026? Is there anything that you're working on? I mean, you have all of these businesses and this community that you work with. Do you have any specific goals for the year?
I am actually, as somebody who is so goal-oriented and always makes my artists come up with goals, I'm actually working through mine right now. I don't have like exact clarification, but my overarching theme, I guess, for 2026 is just to continue to refine, and then my word for the year is trust. So just trust in myself, trust in the process, but also really kind of build on these relationships I've already made, these wonderful artists I'm working with, and just let 2026 kind of be a year of, shedding the things that aren't working and really stepping into like, let's double down on like some beautiful relationships, some great things that are working. And so I know that's not a super clear goal. And as somebody who's like, you need to have smart goals, that's not a smart goal at all. But it's just a feeling. Like, I really want this to be a year of just really kind of building upon where I already am. And so that just means, I feel like I've identified my audience. It's like, can I just help more artists? And can I speak to more women that like really need to hear this? And so I'm excited to see how that plays out. And this year, this is kind of my creative year to sort of like see how it unfolds. But I would say overall, my word for the year is trust. And I'm excited to kind of see how that trust in myself pans out.
I feel like that's a great goal, and to your point earlier, it doesn't always have to be so specific. It can be more broad. And I want to say overall too, one thing that you seem to really communicate, what you communicated here and what you're communicating on your socials is whatever you want to be is okay. There isn't an exact, book that you're or workbook that you're supposed to follow or a way that you have to be. It's okay to sort of follow your own instincts and become the artist and the creative that you want to be and follow what you enjoy most, and making that your own. It doesn't have to be this, outline of there are many, many outlines that will work depending on the way that you want to project your work and build your business.
And I don't think that's usually told to us. Like, I feel like it's usually like, this is success. You need to, hit these goals and work with these people and make this much money. And I think with art, and especially with women who I work with, I'm like, let's identify what's going to make you happy right now and what's going to make you happy long term. And that's not going to look like the person to the left or the person to your right. And that's why I think community is so important. I don't do like a course or one type of, here's how you're going to reach success. I really am like, we're going to work one-on-one and we're going to talk to each other and we're going to lift each other up. And hopefully you'll get there.
Isn't it funny how we sometimes just need permission to do that, right?
Yes. Well, and
Permission to
even
just be the what we
sometimes,
want to do.
yeah, like I've talked to some artists and she's like, is it crazy that my goal is to, maintain where I am and have, more time to be with my family. I'm like, no, that is a great goal. Like, your goal shouldn't always be to work yourself to the bone. It's like giving that permission to really identify what's going to make you happy because you have the choice in your life to make that decision.
Absolutely. I feel like that's a really great note to end on. It's just having the ability to do things the way you want to do it. It's your business. It doesn't have to be anybody else's. It doesn't have to follow anybody else's rules or regulations. It's for you and about you.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in following Haley, actually, Haley, why don't you just rattle off all those different ways people can get in touch, and then we will, of course, list those in the notes as well.
Yes. So I am the Art Coaching Club on Instagram, Art Coaching Club podcast, artcoachingclub.com. And then my personal page is Haley Price White. And Haley is Haylely. And Price and White are how you would think they would be spelled. And then the online gallery is the Scouted Studio, and that is also on Instagram, online, all of the different ways. So there's lots of ways you can reach me depending on where you are in your art business, what your needs are, but I would love to see you. So feel free to, send me a DM, send me an email, let me know where you found me, and I'd love to say hi.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today and just for being so honest and so approachable. I do think that many women would benefit from learning about you, even if it's just following your artist tips of the day. I just think what a great way to get started if building a business is something you're looking to do. So thank you for sharing your insights. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the World of Women Create podcast. As we close the studio door on today's episode, we hope you're walking away with a little more color and a lot more inspiration. The World of Women Create is ever evolving, and we are so grateful you're on this path with us. To stay connected between episodes, visit us at womencreate.com. Until next time.